science, journalism, academia, and many other fields. They'll be safe, warm, and welcome here on the Whistleblower Newsroom every Friday morning, 10 a.m., right here on PRN.
PRN. Progressive Radio Network.
A good one. That's called Crisis. We've used it before. And we were supposed to hear something else today. But you know, this happens. I copied everything down the right way, and this happened. But I don't mind it at all, because I certainly can bear this music time and time again. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I don't know what happened over the weekend. All I could tell you is that whatever happened over the weekend, it's like an explosion of craziness, just absolute craziness everywhere. It started actually before the weekend. It started as early as midweek with all these different to and fro's going on, big battles going on, and we just couldn't, it just didn't subside. It, in fact, it picked up the pace quite a bit over the weekend. Crazy stuff. And it's as if, you know, there's something in the water. It's the only way to explain it. There's got to be something in the water, because there's no other way to explain why from east, west, north, and south, we got just so much garbage happening. And I can't understand that at all. I have quite a few things that we absolutely will not have the time to discuss all of them, but let's talk about some of the more important ones. As you know, the famous Mueller report was, well, the report wasn't turned in. The synopsis or the condensation of the report is out. And that's one thing. It showed that the Mueller investigation found no reason to suspect Donald Trump of coordinating his presidential campaign with Russians, with Russia, I should say. So that was a good thing for Donald Trump. He felt really elated by that. And I'm sure you could understand how great a pronouncement that was for him. We still haven't seen the full report, and I think it is important the full report be released. But more than anything else, okay, so we know what he is not suspected of, but you know that this isn't the final statement on Trump's innocence or guilt. His involvement in this U.S.-Russia plan to win the election. So I don't know that we should begin celebrating too early. We should wait and demand to see the rest of the report, because the report seems not to exonerate him completely. On this specific charge of colluding with Russia in order to gain an advantage at the polls, that's one charge. Okay, they said that the report says they found no evidence that he in fact did that. Okay, but that's not all they were looking into, and we don't have any clue as to where Mueller came down on these other issues that were at play, including and especially obstruction of justice. Did Donald Trump interfere with the process so as to impede the administration of justice while these charges were being sorted out? That hasn't been answered, and I think that's purposefully done. And I'm a bit surprised, actually, after all the, you know, the strident, square-jawed kind of attitude that we got from Mueller, that he would just stop at the one main issue of collusion, in which collusion certainly, even though the lawyers are saying and arguing now that collusion isn't necessarily a crime, I don't know about that, but certainly on the issue that is a crime, which is obstruction of justice, and there are all kinds of ways that Trump could have attempted or could have obstructed justice, but that is left, I guess, for somebody else to figure out. But as far as Mueller is concerned, his job is done. His job is done. We have the Democrats reacting kind of strangely to this whole thing. And you, in the way that they're reacting, they also are giving us the impression that they're not all together on this matter at all, and on other issues as well. You get the sense that there is there are a number of fractures in the Democratic Party as to which way they're going to go, what they want to do and accomplish, and who is going to be the pilot in these several issues. And in fact, I noted with a little bit of surprise, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez saying that impeaching Trump will not solve the problems that we are confronting in the United States. Now, it surprised me, not that I disagree with her or agree with her, it surprised me that she seemed to be taking kind of a turn here away from an aggressive position on Trump and impeachment of Trump. But over the weekend, she says, she didn't give an indication that she's as aggressive about that move of going after Trump and impeaching Trump. But she said impeaching Trump won't necessarily solve the problems of the nation. I don't know how to interpret that. And I'm looking at it in the sense of what's possibly happening in the Democratic Party. What's possibly going on there? I don't get the sense that they're together. I don't sense that they have their act together at all in, facing down this president. Or just taking a position. And it's true, people are allowed to have different opinions on different matters. But Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez, had indicated early that she was pretty set on this business of following through with impeachment. And now, over the weekend, she takes a different position, not explaining that it is a different position. But her position echoes that of Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi had said, and we discussed it, that impeachment of Trump was not, she said, he wasn't worth it. He wasn't worth it. And all that time, people were looking at the Democratic Party as, okay, they're going to come up with a strategy to impeach. That's the vibe we got. Then Pelosi reverses and says, Trump's not worth it. Adam Schiff, a big Trump enemy in the Democratic Party, said the same thing. It's not worth it. So what do you think is going on there? What accounts, you think, for this change of heart and change of mind, where an initial indication, and this goes back all the way to Congressman Al Green from Texas, who, as you know, had made several, at least 2 to 3 appearances on the floor, spelling out articles of impeachment. And then you'd think, well, that's the way a large portion of the Democratic Democratic crew wanted, except we saw that even at the time that he said these things, he was not enthusiastically embraced by other members of the Black Caucus and other members of the Democratic Party. They all seemed to be waiting for a signal from Nancy Pelosi as to what they ought to think and do on this question. Well, Nancy Pelosi, after this last wrangling over the wall and money for the wall, and she won a victory there, the Democrats scored a victory against Trump, she immediately said right after that, that going after Trump, attempting to impeach Trump, is a waste of time. He is not worth it, she says. Adam Schiff says, oh, Trump, we should forget about that. Trump is not worth a big fight over impeachment. So what the heck is going on? And now we have Sister Omar. Well, I don't think she was as loud as it, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying over the weekend that impeaching Trump won't solve the problem. You have any way of reading this? Does this sound a little bit contrary to you? Or is there something that they know that we don't know about impeaching Donald Trump? Let's start off with the questions now. 888-874-4888. What do you read into this? Because it's very puzzling to me. of course, people are entitled to express their opinion, legislators included. They're entitled to change their mind. They're entitled to say what they wish to say. But I'm saying that it seems as if there's a kind of about face brewing, and I wonder what accounts for it. At one point, they were all gung-ho, we're going to impeach him. We had very crude expressions about his impeachment from Congresswoman Tlaib of Michigan. But now, over this weekend, we see a kind of, I don't know what that is. I don't know how to read it. It's puzzling, that's for sure. That's for sure. In the meantime, President Trump is having a ball. And his spin doctors are at work. And of course, he considers himself the greatest spin doctor of all. And he's been using this to tout the fact, of course, that he's been victimized. The Democrats are out to get him and destroy him. And look, here is the person that they wanted to conduct an investigation. Was a free and fair investigation, and nothing has come of it. But we don't know that there's nothing in the report. We haven't seen the whole report. It was a condensation of the report, and it dealt with two areas, but answering only one. The two areas are, did Trump in any way collude with Russian agents or agents of Russia to win the election? But the other part is equally important. We need to know that as well. Did Donald Trump, based on evidence that Mueller allegedly collected, did Trump basically hinder progress, hinder justice in that case? All right, 888-874-4888 is that one. That's a very important question. So I wish I can hear what you're thinking about these two questions. So there are many more questions, but I don't want to jam everything up. You should know that today it was reported that Russian troops have landed in Venezuela near Caracas. That's not a good sign, but it could be a good sign. We don't know. But it does signal an escalation in what is going on that we've been talking about going on in Venezuela. And I'm hoping that it is not the precursor to anything worse than what has been going on with the fight that is going on to claim Venezuela. I don't know. I really don't know how it's going on there. I have to adjust. We'll take a short break and come back. I just have to adjust my computer here. Terrible at mechanical things and computer things, very terrible. And I have a major kind of sense of paranoia about pressing any button because invariably I press the wrong button. Okay, so Gilbert from South Carolina, you're on the air. I'm not hearing you, Clara.
Okay, hello. Nice talking with you. Oh, I wanted to respond just briefly. Just comment briefly on what you announced earlier, that the have landed in Venezuela.
Yes.
My initial reaction was, thank God. I know there are downsides, but I can't go into that now because of time, because I want to respond to what your question is. Your question was, what do we make of the Democrats' apparent switch in their desire to
Some Democrats. We can't say some Democrats.
More outspoken ones, because those names that you used are the ones that I'm familiar with. I think it might be related to their concerns about the coming election. I think that they might see Trump as an easier challenger for them to conquer in the acquisition of the White House. And that's their focus, I think, at this point, not on that we might be more concerned about. And the other thing is, I believe all of this drama that's deliberately created deliberately for the public to maintain our attention on such things, which are less important, really, to our lives than issues that are in the background. And the issues that are in the background are issues that are kind of muffled by the way the media is conducting themselves in bringing them to our attention. I just think it's all of one big program. Keep them focused on drama and shenanigans by Trump, and just don't even acknowledge the basic concerns like climate change, like vaccines, like the issue of free speech. And that's what I'm thinking. I don't pay a lot of attention to what's going on in Washington, but what's going on in the world and our role, the United States' role in those issues.
Hmm. So you don't see any reason to get all excited about it. You just have to wait and watch it unfold?
Yeah, just watch it. I don't think it's that important, in relatively speaking. Of course we have a fascist dummy in the White House, but we right now that's a reflection of the way this country is working and the goals, apparent goals, of the administration and those people who are funding and promoting those goals.
All right. Well, you got us started today. Thank you so much for your contribution. Is Gilbert with us from South Carolina? Okay. Then Bill from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yashir.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yes. To whom am I speaking?
Good. I agree.
This is Bill?
Yes, this is Bill.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
I agree 100% with your previous caller that this is really not that important in the grand scheme of things. The investigation, 22-month investigation, was garbage from the start, meaningless garbage, never had any real purpose, and the American people should think about how much of their money, taxpayer money, was wasted on this. No one wants to talk about that you wasted our money for 2 years on this when there was nothing to begin with. And as far as
how do you know there was nothing to begin with? You had a demand. Right,
because
things were going kind of off the rails, and the public was demanding accountability. You had the appointment of a special prosecutor, if you will, and this is what he's come up with. He hasn't yet answered the other major question. The first question is given an opinion based on evidence he has garnered and people who haven't. Have been interviewed, and he says, look, there was no attempt at all to manipulate the election through collusion with Russians. Okay, well, that's fine. But it is not the only thing that he was supposed to look at. The other part of it, as I said, is did Donald Trump, in the course of the campaign and course of the election, did he obstruct justice?
No, I don't. But I'll get to that in a second. I believe that there's no way, if there was any evidence whatsoever that this took place, why would it take the full weight of the U.S. government investigative unit to 22 months to figure that out, that there's nothing? I mean, I can't imagine that the investigation could possibly need 22 months to find that there's nothing. So
I think
it was a
very strong point.
It was a stall from the beginning. But as far as the whether he hindered the investigation, that almost is like when you get charged with resisting arrest when you shouldn't have been getting arrested in the first place. There's a bogus. This happens. There's a bogus arrest. And they, when they realize or admit that there's a bogus arrest, then they charge you with a resisting arrest when they shouldn't have been arresting you in the first place. So did he hinder the investigation? I'm quite sure he did anything he could to hinder the investigation, which was a meaningless, baseless investigation. I'm quite sure he did. And I don't care. I don't care if he hindered the investigation. I don't care about the investigation. What I care about is the real things, which are, what are we going to do about the climate? What are we going to do about people that don't have food to eat? What are we going to do about the running out of water? What are we going to do about our health? And this smoke and mirrors, this magician sleight of hand, look here, look at this, and don't think about your situation that you're in. Don't think about when we tell you unemployment is low, don't think about the fact that you're unemployed. It's low. We tell you it's low, so things are great. I don't get caught up in all of that. I think about what is real, what is necessary to further the survival, which you talk about all the time, of myself and my family. You have to focus on yourself and your family, and when I say family, I also mean my friends, their family too. If you focus on taking care of you and your family, and everyone did that, we wouldn't even need government.
Okay, I think your analysis is brilliant. What I want to ask, though, is we're talking politics,
yes,
and politics involves a lot of these kinds of shenanigans. All right,
yeah.
So Trump gets to boast that, see, I told you, I didn't do it. So, and now they confirmed it. So he's loving Mueller right now. What should be the position of the Democrats?
What should be the position? What will be the position? I mean, I've already seen that a lot of the Democrats are saying, okay, the investigation failed, so we'll have to do our own investigation. That's the tack that some of them are taking, that we'll have to investigate ourselves because Mueller failed. They're saying that, you know, what do you say when you get found out? You know, you have to switch to something else. Take someone's attention to something else, or say that the investigation failed, but it's real, it happened. We'll investigate ourselves and spend some more of the taxpayers' money and waste more of the taxpayers' time, and we'll still go forward with this at least up to the election, so that we can try to garner some votes.
Should anybody incur some kind of punishment for dragging us into this cycle of, you know, it's just make-believe, in a sense.
Well,
we keep you occupied and divert your attention and all the stuff, but in the end, the meter is running, and we're getting nowhere on the critical answer, critical question, for which there still is no answer. Nobody's told us who is going to answer the question about did Trump in any way impede justice.
Well, I agree that there should be penalties, but for a lot of things that go on in this country, but very rarely does anything that the U.S. government does get penalized. I mean, we should be penalized for what we did in Libya, penalized for what we did in Iraq, penalized for what we did in South America. I mean, you know, we can hand out penalties, penalized for what this state, this country did to black people. I mean, there's lots of penalties to hand out, but America never pays. America's got a lot of debts, but they never pay.
So, as far as you're concerned, this is a non-event, a non-issue. Yeah. You're ignoring it.
I have to be focused on you know, feeding and taking care of my family. I mean, I think first about the health, the physical and mental health of my family. That is in my head 99% of the day. The health of my family. The health of my family. Because if you don't have that, you've got nothing. So I focus on that. You know, the old saying, you know, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Or if you've got your health, you have everything. I focus on that. And then after that is handled, then I think about things outside of that, but nothing diverts my laser beam attention from the health, mental and physical.
I think that's a good, you know, that little snippet that you just said, we should kind of just have it play it, loop and loop and loop and loop it, because that is exactly what we ought to be doing. Thank you so much for your call today. I think Gilbert, we're trying to have Gilbert. Gilbert, are you on the air? He's not. He's not on the air. Okay. We'll get it all sorted out. Don't worry about it. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Atrice. How are
you?
Hello. Hi. You know, I have to say that I categorically disagree with your previous caller. I think that this is extremely serious and extremely telling that Russia has put troops into Venezuela, obviously to protect the Venezuelan people from us attacking them. I believe when I heard on Friday what happened was, and I think that I had discussed it with, you know, a couple of my friends, that there was a great possibility that a deal would be made, especially since we were looking at attacking Venezuela. I definitely believe there was a deal made, and the deal was made that at least at this time we couldn't go after him. One of the things that really pissed off the neocons when he came in was that he was willing, at least in the beginning, to make friends with Russia, and so that made a lot of people really, really mad. And they didn't think that he'd play ball. But he's there for a reason, and he is there to take on things that probably no one else could have done, because he is so amoral and so unethical. And I believe that we are at a really serious crossroads right now. I don't think we should dismiss it or just blow it off and say, oh, this is no big deal. This is a big deal, because you know what? They don't spend, $23 million on investigating nothing. They must have thought that they had something on this person, and I don't think that they believed there was nothing. I mean, I think they took down 37 people that were around him. So I find it hard to believe that there was nothing on him. Now, maybe not with collusion, but for sure there is something about his corruption. But it's very disheartening and disappointing that, and also telling that the Democrats are all beginning to go around this ridiculous scenario of saying, hey, he's not worth impeaching. It's like, you know, it's like listening to your mother saying, hey, that guy's not worth crying over. It's not whether he's worth impeaching. It doesn't matter who we're impeaching. We impeach people because they've broken the law. We impeach people because this isn't how you hold the highest office in the United States. And it is serious. It is serious. It's the erosion of our society. And we've all gotten so used to eroding everything that we're all so cynical. And we can act like, we're a bunch of little smart alecks and, yeah, we can see into the future and I'll just take care of the things in front of me. Let me tell you something. It might not be anything in front of you. It might get blown off the face of this earth, because if these two superpowers get into a nuclear war, then we might not have anything. And I'm going to tell you that I believe the people that are in charge of these weapons are mostly people that belong in insane asylums. That they are so short-sighted. They actually think we'll survive this. And, you know, Russia's told us over and over again, we now have weapons that are faster than yours, that can counteract yours. And now they're putting their ships there, and there's a reason why. I mean, you've got John Bolton, you've got all of these crazy neocons that are determined to attack these three countries. These three countries that have not attacked us, we are going to attack. And I guess the most insane part to me is what we're attacking them over. We're attacking them over the very product that's killing the entire planet. That's oil. Oil is going to kill us all. And our addiction to it is going to take us down. Instead of
In this situation where a determination has been made, okay, we as a nation, we saw that this was taken seriously. We saw even over the objections of Trump and others, the appointment of this special prosecutor to take a look at what might have happened here. He spent almost 2 years doing that. A lot of money, a lot of witnesses called. So we are under the impression, looking from the outside in, we think that he has done a thorough job.
He did do a thorough job. There is a deal that was made. Today, the day that the ships, that the Russians are pulling into Venezuela, that is why there is a deal being made. They know that he has the balls to go after Russia. He's crazy enough to do it. That's what they want him to do. That's why Hillary was there. Hillary over and over again said that she was willing to make a no-fly zone over Syria. Well, then what that really means is if there's one missile that goes over Syria, we're going to take them down and we're going to start World War III. I mean, that nobody's looking at the motivation for even why Trump is where he is. A lot of people did not vote for him because when they heard that, they wanted to avoid World War III, so you had to avoid voting for her, and that's the only reason why they voted for him. Well,
but I'm saying the one charge, if you will, that they were one of the two charges or two areas that they were looking at and did with the pronouncement that there was no collusion between Trump and the Russians, but that had to do with his election as president. The puzzling part here is that the other charge, there was no finding on the other charge. Does it puzzle you that we don't have a finding on whether the president obstructed justice?
It's a big hunk that's missing. And why would you conclude a $23 million investigation without a finding? Isn't that why we sent him out there? Isn't that why he was doing this? But again, I want to just also say, when it comes to this investigation, that for me, I didn't really care so much. I mean, I don't know about him colluding with Russia, and I don't know if he did or if he didn't. But I know if there's a law to be broken, Trump will have broken it. I guarantee you that. And that does bother me. But I think that he's such a dangerous man that I think a lot of people, you know, would have liked to have seen him be impeached or him, you know, found guilty of something so we can, you know, change the channel and go on to something else.
But there's no ammunition now. The first
well, now there's part, not. And he's more emboldened than ever.
Gave him a pass. He just gave Trump a pass. That wasn't really categorized as a crime. It might have been poor conduct, bad judgment, blah, blah, blah. But that would not have been a crime in the way mm-hmm. that this the other charge is absolutely serious. The charge that he has not made up his mind about, this is Mueller, that is the crime. That is the crime.
Well, I think that there is much here that's not being said, and I also want to say that, you know, I also think that it's very curious about even Alexandria Cortez and all the newbies that came in. I mean, even the fact that they got into Congress, I find strange, because there are people that have been on exactly the same platform as these new people that came in. And they don't make it in. They never make it in. The Democrats laser in on them right away. And right away, they're silenced. They can't get through. Very, very hard to get through. But this time, because of the divisions in the Democratic Party, I believe they were allowed to get through. And she was allowed to speak all of her bold rhetoric because they wanted to show that Democrats were we have a new vision in our party. And we have new leadership. But she sounds exactly like Nancy Pelosi, and so does the other young woman. And that means that there has definitely been a deal. I believe that there most likely will be a war. They can't take Trump down now because Trump will, A, do exactly what they want. He's crazy enough that he would pull the button, and that's what a lot of people want. And, B, the Democrats are with it. They want to go to war, too, a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them do, and they're down with this. So they've talked amongst their fellows. These girls are very young that are in there. They're juniors, and they're going to go along to get along. And it's, you know, very disappointing. But I'll tell you, I think that this is a lot.
I think there's a lot more here than meets the eye.
There's so much more here, and I'm frankly really frightened to find out where we're going next, because this is such a bad sign. And I don't believe they would have dumped all this money into this if they didn't think they were going to get something at the end. So something shifted radically recently, and now we're going to go to a new place, and it doesn't look good to me. So I'm just, that's my opinion.
Thank you. A very strong opinion. I like strong opinions. Thank you for offering your opinion today. Ed from Queens. Is Ed with us? Okay. Then we move on to Jay. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. How are you?
Okay. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing good. I think that nothing was going to happen in this investigation, so I'm not surprised about none of it. I really don't think that they were going to be able to get him on collusion. Now, as far as obstruction of justice, that's a whole nother story. I think that he's done it kind of openly in a sense in the way that he's behaved. Now, the way I see this whole thing going is, if they release the report, they have a better opportunity of going after him, because personally, the way I think that they could really get him is with tax evasion and bank fraud. And I think that the way they will probably come after him from the New York State angle is to put pressure on them is through his kids, to be honest with you.
Here's a question. You spent almost 2 years investigating.
Yeah,
and
as
things go,
listen to this. You got to remember one thing. And I think if you look at it, did they bring Weissman, who's basically the person that knows all of his information, who agreed to cooperate with the United States government? Did they bring him in, and what did they really discuss with him? And is that in the report? Because I believe what they did was they brought him in, asked him certain questions, and then turned him over to New York State, because they really feel that's where they can make their case, because you cannot, in their mindset, prosecute a sitting president. So like I said, they're going to go after his children, and use that as, I believe, the basis of trying to not have him reelected as president. My prediction is that he may, depending on how much he's willing to fight, give it up. Because you and I both know the Democratic Party is in no position to stop him. The Democratic Party has no vision or any idea on how to use this two-year investigation to their benefit, because they can never put together the proper narrative in order to show him for being the fraud that he is. One last thing. I would hope that other states in the United States will follow the lead of Washington and say that he cannot be on their ballot if he doesn't show his taxes.
Well, we'll see. It's all about, you know, how people are making their moves, but we I find it very odd. I just find it very odd that out of two things, you can make a determination on the matter that isn't really a big criminal deal and completely ignore the one that is. But we will know. We will find out. Good to hear from you today. Thank you so much. Ed is back. Ed, you know we're fighting to get you on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Eutrice?
Okay.
I lost air for a minute. basically, with all of this, I mean, I come at it from a different viewpoint. You know, okay. I've worked in government. I've been in the military, and I've worked in government. I had a TSBI, and I've seen things that other people haven't seen or don't are not at liberty to see. With that, I qualify my statement to say there are a lot of people in government that are involved in government that have a genuine stake in the status quo. And certain things are not going to be allowed to happen. For want of a better word, those who sit in shadow, you see them every once in a while, the Dulles brothers are a familiar name. Schultz is a familiar name. These people travel with the government. They're bipartisan. They don't have any party affiliation. They don't have any loyalty. They don't have any national loyalty. They have an agenda, and they live by that agenda, and they preach that agenda like gospel. And I've heard it. And believe me, Trump has been getting away with garbage for a long time. He's very good at being greasy. He knows how to be greasy. From the time he worked with Walden Rink and friends of mine who were contractors that I know that lost their shirts over Walden Rink and the promises that he made, till today, he's a master at getting out of crap, and he knows how to do it. So, and Mulder is part of the old guard. You gotta look at the background.
Now, explain to me how this came to pass that we have Mueller after almost 2 years making this determination that A, there was no collusion between Trump and his campaign and the Russians. Okay. But then the second part is that there is no evidence. Trump is not an exonerated man. So
no,
what do you read? You know, he hasn't been exonerated
particular
count.
This is the political dog and pony show that they run to keep you distracted, to keep you from focusing on what really should be going on. I mean, come on. You had these politicians throwing around allegations. This man is a traitor. This man is a spy for Russia. You really think that if this man was real, I'm not saying that he's not. I know I'm familiar with Trump's history. I know he's been involved with Russian criminals and oligarchs because that was the only funding he could get. Deutsche Bank is going through a turmoil, and they were one of his principal funders, and they channeled money from Russia from the Ukraine through America through the world, laundering money, and he's always been a part of that. And the first thing is, how did this guy even get a political novice with no political background, nothing in his portfolio that warranted him to even be a dog catcher, let alone president? That's what you got to take a look at. Look at how he got to where he is, and what's keeping him there. I mean, a 2-year investigation. This government spends money on nothing. This government spent $1 million on a coffee maker. You understand what I'm saying? Money means nothing to this government because this government prints money. So money is nothing. It's maintaining the status quo. There are a lot of people that are invested in keeping things just the way they are, and they don't want it to go too far to the left. They don't want to go too far to the right. And whatever they have to do, they're going to keep it that way because it's part of their agenda. And that's what I'm saying.
So now, what you're saying, we are to look at the legal system, the Mueller investigation, with great suspicion. We are to look at the Democrats, too, because it seems to me that if you could count on one group of people who would take a very strong view on the fact that essentially Mueller has turned in an incomplete project. And a project that requires, it seems to me, I'm not an expert, but it seems to me, if you're talking about obstructing justice, obstructing the administration of justice, these are serious laws that Trump would have broken if indeed this was found to be the case. But they're leaving it alone. And you would expect that the Democrats would raise a howl about it, but we're not hearing anything. We're hearing Nancy Pelosi. We're even hearing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying impeaching Trump won't solve any problems. They're now singing a different kind of tune. Does it bother you a bit?
Of course it does, but this is a cabal of corruption. It's an agreement of fees. It's a liar's agreement. We all got dirt, and we ain't gonna let the dirt get too bad because we like the status quo. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody that comes with the truth, they put a bullet in them. Look at Martin. Look at Malcolm. I mean, to some extent, look at Kennedy. The president of the United States shot, and in 50, 60 years, we still don't really have the real truth about that. This country is a corporation run by a few people who sit in shadow and who want things just the way they are. And the only way we're going to wake up is if we really stop looking at the small picture and look at the big picture. But it takes a sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice that a lot of Americans are not willing to deal with.
So what should be our attitude toward the Democratic Party?
Question everything. Question everything. And be surprised at nothing. Democrat, Republican, liberal, or socialist, question everything. Because in the final analysis, the good of the people is not in the best interest of these people in power. And I honestly believe that.
Wow. Well, I wanted to ask whether, I'm going back to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
Is her position puzzling to you?
Well, I mean, she's a junior. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, she should have taken all of these newcomers, her and I don't, it's, her name escapes me, the Muslim woman at the time. You've got to, when you get in these positions, if you really want to be an asset, first of all, you got to keep your mouth shut. You got to learn the lay of the land. You got to see who you can go
that's
to.
That's what I said.
Who you can what? Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. Don't say anything. Just observe.
Don't say anything. Yes. Because you got to put your bones in. You got to put the work in. Then you can make moves that are going to be productive. If you just want to be a showboat and be on Instagram and Facebook and all this other garbage, yeah, you can run your mouth. But if you want to do real work, you got to put the work in. And that's what all of them, they didn't put the work in. You know, you can't just jump out there. You got to see who's on my side, who's against me. What am I doing for my constituents now that I'm here? I got to see what the lay of the land is. Just like when I come on a job, I just don't jump in. I got to see what's happening. I got to see what can I do to make this best for me. Where's my benefit? Where's the people that I'm representing? Where's their benefit? That's what you got to do. When I was a union rep, what's the benefit to my people? let me be quiet and find out what's going on. And they didn't do that. So I don't take them sincerely at all.
Well, of course, you know, I criticized Ilhan Omar on just that mm-hmm. point, because it looked at that time, it seemed as if every day there was another fight, another explosion, and yeah. it had nothing to do with her congressional district.
Exactly.
You know, so I was wondering whether she would be guided into just laying low for a while, do nothing but learn and meet people and talk, go to the library and research things and prepare yourself. But right now, if they come after her, because she's so, she's vulnerable, if they come after her, she doesn't even have a base yet organized in Washington, D.C., which ironically has a vibrant pan-African community. I was hoping that she would have spent some time getting to know that community and establishing herself there and some roots there, but it doesn't look like that's what she has in mind. Thanks so much, Ed, for your analysis today. Thank you all for your analyses today. Very, very helpful to hear what you have to say. And, you know, listening, paying attention, you see how spot on you are in so many ways. And this is what this program is about. Let's talk it through, and we'll find a way by looking at all these different dimensions that you offer. We have a different appreciation of a problem that looks so straightforward. Thanks for illuminating us. And that brings us to the end of the program. We'll see each other tomorrow, same time. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.